playing it for Jesus Christ. That's pretty cool. So thank you, Miss Katie. And no, you can't have it. First, a little house cleaning. Two weeks ago, before Mr. McRae spoke last week, I spoke the week before, and we talked about the end times, and we went through an awful lot of material very quickly. And one of the things that I left out there that I think was a little unclear was where we talked about how the end of the church age, this is the church age because we're in the church, and this is how God ministers himself to the entire world is through the church. We said at the end of the church age that there would be a resurrection, and those who had followed Jesus Christ would go to heaven and be with him forever. And I made that sound, even as I went back and listened to it myself and watched it, made it sound like anybody who passed away during the church age would be waiting to be with God in heaven till then. That's not the case. We talk about a resurrection. It's when the bodies would actually be resurrected and go to heaven. Here's the bottom line. In the church age, if you pass away during the church age, you will immediately go and be with God in paradise and wait for the resurrection at the end of the church age for the actual rewards to be given out. How do we know that? What did Jesus say to the thief on the cross? When would he be with him in paradise? This day you'll be with me in paradise. Paul says to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. That's where we get that theology. I just wanted to clear that up because I know sometimes there's the thinking that it waits. There's a place of holding for Christians, and that's not the case. So I want to just clean up that house cleaning so that I feel better about that. So that's the case. If you perish during the church age, you go. You are with God that day, with him in paradise, awaiting the day when you will be rewarded for all that you have invested your life in, the treasure that you have stored in heaven. That's when God will assign for the new kingdom what our places will be. We're studying Proverbs chapter 6, and here is what we have been studying. Some people call these the seven deadly sins. I don't like to think of them that way. It's just seven things that God has highlighted here that these are ones that really seem to get God's goat, as we will read here. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. There are six things the Lord hates, seven things that are detestable to him. Number one, haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. We've handled all these. Go back on the website and listen to all these. A heart that defies his wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and now tonight's topic, a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. As King Solomon, who wrote this, as he closes out his list of things that he is being powered through the Spirit to write, he speaks of these things that God hates, and he finishes with the man or woman who stirs up trouble among brothers or sisters. Now, this may not sound like an incredibly serious offense. In fact, it can even sound quite playful. But as we will see tonight, it is serious. It is deadly serious in God's eyes. And if we are to understand it, if we are to fully get our hands around what it is, we have to understand what it isn't before we can understand what it is. In tonight's study, King Solomon puts his finger on the troublemaker, the discord sower, the instigator. But what makes this offender unique is the environment and the choice of people he or she chooses to disrupt. Solomon points out that this person causes trouble among brothers. This person starts conflict among loved ones. This offender sows discord amongst family members and instigates trouble between friends. And I believe we are justified if we apply this offense to stirring up trouble among schoolmates, stirring up trouble among co-workers, or even among church brothers and sisters. Well, now that we have reached the end of this list of offenses that Solomon lays out, we notice that these sins that God hates, as it's listed, they have something in common. Here's what a Bible student named Matthew Henry noticed. He wrote this. He said, God hates sin. He hates every sin. He can never be reconciled to it. Sin, that is. God hates nothing but sin. But there are some sins which he does in special manner hate. And all those here mentioned are such as injurious to our neighbor. It is an evidence of the goodwill God bears to mankind that those sins are in a special manner provoking to God, which are prejudicial to the comfort of human life and society. You see, what Matthew Henry recognized here is that these particular seven sins highlighted in chapter 6, they have something in common. They're all sins that affect and injure other people. For instance, if I'm greedy and I want to hoard all my money to myself, that's pretty much self-contained, and that affects pretty much me. If I lust and I think impure thoughts, that again is self-contained and destroys me. If I place a desire for possessions in front of my love for God, that in turn affects my relationship with God. But these sins, the ones that God highlights here, are sins that we commit that are at each other's expense. Each of the sins we have looked at in this passage have been sins that we affect and impinge others with. Case in point, remember? Looking down on others with pride, the haughty eyes section we studied, causing shame and inferiority in others. Remember when we studied the false friendships, the schemers that can be devised to prosper oneself at the total expense of another's trust or feelings. The lying tongue, another that dishonors another person, counting them as unimportant enough to not merit being appropriately informed. Then we looked at the bullies who shed innocent blood as if they are entitled to bring about misery on someone else. And finally tonight, what we call the pot stirrer. The pot stirrer who brings grief and brings discord and disharmony to those God desired unity for. Those that God desired affirmation for. And those who God wants to give peace to. Pot stirring. Divisive behavior is heinous in God's eyes because pot stirrers do not merely fall into trouble, they create trouble. They perpetuate trouble. In fact, if we are to deal with pot stirrers, we are to deal with them differently than those who simply fall into sin. To understand pot stirrers, we need to understand who they are and who they are not. And I think we would be well served to contrast the difference between them. We will have A, the person who gets into and finds trouble. We're going to call this person the knee scraper because they fall down, fall into sin, and scrape up their spirituality. But on the other side of the chart, we are going to have the person who stirs up trouble, and this is the pot stirrer. Let's look at the first group before we can get to the second group that Solomon is addressing tonight. Okay, number one, the knee scrapers. Again, people who fall into and commit sin. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are all going to make mistakes, guys. We're all going to get into trouble. We are all going to do the wrong things. Sometimes we do them deliberately, let's be honest. And sometimes we do them accidentally. The truth is, if you walk the face of this earth, you will sin. You will be a knee scraper. Even the Apostle Paul said this. He said, the things I don't want to do, I do. The things that I want to do, I don't do them. Woe to those, gang, who think that they are never at fault. Woe to those who think they are perfect. Proverbs 28:13 informs us of that. It says this, people who conceal their sins will not prosper. But if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. Gang, we all will make mistakes. We will all scuff up and scrape up our spirituality. We all fall onto this side of the chart, gang. We're all there. And when we make mistakes, we need to be corrected. For some of us, being corrected is very natural. It's as natural as can be. For others, it might just take an intervention. Well, crazy friends, but good friends. Matthew 18 is a wonderful place to look for guidelines on how correction should work, or intervention. You use it when you are dealing with folks on this side of the chart, as we saw before, the knee scrapers. Matthew 18 says this, starting at verse 15 and going through 18. It says, if a fellow believer hurts you, go and tell him. Work it out between the two of you. If he listens, you've made a friend. If he won't listen, take one or two others along, so that the presence of witnesses will keep things honest, and try again. If he still won't listen, we'll tell the church. If he won't listen to the church, you'll have to start over from scratch. Confront him with the need for repentance and offer again God's forgiving love. Gang, these are perfect, God-given instructions for the corrector. And I've got to say, here at Westbridge, you have got a pretty good handle on this. We're not perfect, but I have seen good things happen when it comes to this and among you. But what about this? What about when you find yourself on this side of the chart in the role of someone who's made a mistake and is being told about it, as we saw our friend here? As the correctee, we have to choose what our attitude will be towards receiving correction. Proverbs 15:32 says this, if you reject discipline, you only harm yourself. But if you listen to correction, you grow and understand it. Gang, on this side of the chart, we need to be people who humbly consider the correction that comes to us. I love Proverbs 27:6, and I use it all the time. It tells us this: the slap of a friend can be trusted to help you, but the kisses of an enemy are nothing but lies. Today's NIV says it this way: wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. One of my good friends, back in my early Christian days, I had stayed over his house one night, and so we were laying there going to sleep in our sleeping bags, and he says, "Hey, I got an idea." I said, "What's that?" He says, "How about this? Why don't we tell each other something that we think the other one's doing wrong? And maybe that'll help one another." I said, "That sounds like a good idea." He said, "I go first." Oh, okay. He says, "You're too critical. Everything I bring to you and everything people comes your way, you always find the negative. You're a downer. You always criticize. Somebody brings something nice to you, you find the thing that's wrong with it." And this went on for the rest of the evening. I never got my turn to go. And at first, I still owe him. I think it was the day we bought that guitar, so it's been a long time. I'll see him again. But it hurts hearing those kind of things. But the wounds of a friend can be trusted, the Bible says. My buddy wanted the best for me. My buddy wasn't out to hurt me. He never wanted bad for me. The slap of a friend can be trusted to help you, the Bible tells us. Gang, we all abide on this side of the chart, the knee scrapers. And it would be really, really nice to think that people falling into trouble and being corrected by people who care about them are all that there is in this world. That would be wonderful. But unfortunately, that is not all that there is in the world. Unfortunately, there are more dangerous people. And the Bible wants us to recognize that. Solomon wants us to recognize it. There are people who don't merely fall into trouble and find trouble and get scraped up. Instead, there are people who make trouble, who want trouble for you and for me. And when Solomon wrote what we've been reading tonight, he had purposefully taken off his rose-colored glasses that look at the world, and he recognized these folks, the pot stirrers. And unfortunately, gang, we need to be able to do the same. So, what exactly is a pot stirrer? What do they look like? Well, let me tell you a story. There was a Christian school, and the Christian school had a football team. And one day after practice, after the football team had finished and the practice was over, Mr. Pot Stirrer's son was driving out of the parking lot. And he drove out too fast, and he was driving crazy, and he cut off Mr. Knee Scraper. Mr. Knee Scraper was upset that young pot stirrer could drive so recklessly, and he got angry. He didn't really act properly, and he kind of went to the coach with a bit of an attitude, and he says, "Hey, young pot stirrer over there just cut me off. He could have killed somebody. He's driving down the road," and he really gave him a riot act. The coach says, "Ooh, I understand, that's not good. Easy, easy, calm down. I'll take care of it." So the coach goes to Mr. Pot Stirrer, and he says, "Mr. Pot Stirrer, we had a little incident the other day. It's not a big deal," he says, "but it is important." He told him what happened. "Your son cut off a car, and that man was very upset." And Mr. Pot Stirrer listened, took it in. "So my son did this? And Knee Scraper making a big deal out of it? Knee Scraper going on about it, going to see you? Knee Scraper couldn't just get out of the way?" And Mr. Poster started to get fired up. And Poster said, "You know what? I never liked those Knee Scrapers to start with. My son's the star. Knee Scraper ain't nothing. Throw him off the team." Coach says, "Easy, I'm just coming to you with this thing of the car thing. You know, we're not going to throw people off the team." No, Potter says, "You throw this guy off the team." Well, Coach got himself out of there and said, "Oh boy, if you always want to get away from that." But Potter never let that go. Potter didn't like hearing somebody talk about his children. So he started going around to different parents on the team when he would see them. "Hey, what the Knee Scrapers are up to?" Started stirring up trouble, lots of trouble. So much so that he started to get angry at the coach for not throwing the Knee Scrapers off the team, that particular boy. Pot Stirrer just kept going. As it turns out, the Pot Stirrers and the coach go to the same church. So you know what Pot Stirrer does? He starts talking to the elders at the church about the coach. How incompetent he is, how he's not capable of leading. Now, he's in a Christian school and leading the football team, but he doesn't know how to do it, and stirred the whole thing up. This thing got worse and worse and worse until ultimately elders are meeting with the coach, they're meeting with Pot Stirrer family, they're meeting with everybody. It's a big, awful thing. Cops are involved on this thing. Until eventually, coach leaves. Leaves the whole thing. Couldn't deal with it anymore. Now, their names are not pot stirrers and Knee Scrapers. But the story I told you is true. True story. And here's the kicker. It happened among Christians. Just several years ago. God finds that kind of behavior detestable. Starting to make sense? What God hates, it makes him sick. And God knows it is out here in the world we live in. So much so that he warns you and me about the pot stirrers in our life. Romans 16, 17 through 18 says this. "And now," Paul speaking, "I make one more appeal, my dear brothers and sisters. Watch out for people who cause divisions and upset people's faith by teaching things contrary to what they've been taught. Stay away from them. Such people are not serving Christ our Lord. They are serving their own personal interests." Gang, on this side of the chart, the Knee Scrapers, on this side, we are supposed to go to them, like you saw in the intervention. We are supposed to tell them what they're doing wrong. We are supposed to take others along with us, one or two. And then ultimately, we are to go to the church. I believe that's talking about going to the church leadership. You don't go to everybody in the church. You go to church leadership. Now let me show you what the Bible teaches about addressing pot stirrers. Titus chapter 3, verse 10. Here's what it says. "Warn a quarrelsome person once, or twice, but then be done with them. It's obvious that such a person is out of line, rebellious against God. By persisting in divisiveness, he cuts himself off. The NIV says it this way: warn a divisive person once and then warn him a second time. After that, have nothing to do with him. You may be sure that such a man is warped and sinful. He is self-condemned. Okay, gang, we need to get our hands around a very different situation than what we were dealing with knee scrapers. You see, pot stirrers, disruptive, divisive people are a whole different breed on that side of the chart. And this passage that we just read says that pot stirrers have personal agendas or interests to promote, and they know what they are doing, and they don't care who they hurt. In fact, they want to hurt, as we saw in the football story. Where on this side, the knee scraper side of the chart, the main purpose of having an intervention like you saw is to redeem or rescue the sinner. We have to try to rescue the sinner with knee scrapers. But on that side of the chart, on the pot stirrer side, the main emphasis that the Bible is telling us is to protect. Protect the organization, protect what's being infected, protect what is good. When I became a supervisor on the fire department, we got a new guy sent to our firehouse. We have a good firehouse, good bunch of guys. Everything runs very smooth. And they were sending us a firefighter who had been having difficulty at different stops in the department. And so my deputy chief came to me and he told me that he wanted me to supervise this situation and see what was going on. So I did. And I found out very quickly that this new person was a big complainer. Found out that he was anti-city. He was anti-fire department. They stink. They're giving it to us, guys. Wow. Spreading negativity all around the guys I work with. So, hey, can I see you in the office? Sure. Warning number one. You're pot stirring. Stop it. These are good guys. They appreciate the job. They come to work. You may have an attitude. Lose it. Get rid of it. It's no good for you. It's going to eat you up. And I can't have you affect my guys. Off he goes. Gave it another 2 months. What happened next? Warning two. Brought him in. Hey, not changing. More trouble. You seem to hate the city even more. The city really gave it to you this week, apparently, according to you. They're really taking advantage of you. He went out. Same thing continued. My deputy chief says to me, how's it going? I says, it's going really interesting. Let me show you Titus chapter 3, verse 10. Huh? I said, oh, I don't need a fire department handbook. I don't need the chief's handbook. Titus, chapter 3, verse 10. Warn a divisive person once, warn him a second time. Then have nothing to do with him. Chief, he's got to go. He's got to go. He's going to ruin what we've got. Done the job. Let him move on. Maybe someone else can help him. But being around us isn't helping him. Now, God warns us about this kind of individual because, Westbridge, we will run across these type of folks. I will say this. Pot stirrers tend to be much more rare. There are really not that many out there that I've seen. No, not the real bad ones. They're much more rare than knee scrapers. And we need to be sure. Be very careful with this passage that I'm handing you tonight. This is a power tool. And be very careful that you don't categorize a mischievous, kind of messed up person who's kind of knee scraping a lot and turn him into a pot scraper. Be careful. They are around, but make sure that you're giving people benefit of the doubt. That's why these two things start out the same with the corrections come in place. But when you do recognize a pot stirrer, when you see it pretty clear, and you've talked to God about it, and you may have even gotten some advice on this, and when you have a pot stirrer, be very quick to warn them. Hopefully they will turn. That's the hope. Well, you're protecting what you've got. If they don't, warn them again. Hopefully that will turn them. I will say this. My experience in leadership, and been in church leadership for quite a while, and leadership in the fire department market for a short while, but my experience has been this. Pot stirrers usually cut and run when they see that you mean business with your warnings. They don't hang around when they say, uh-oh, this guy's serious. He don't fool around. But your job as followers of Jesus Christ, when you see wolves attacking, your job is to protect the flock. What Paul was talking about here, why this was written, why Paul wrote this to Titus, his young apprentice leading the church, Paul was dealing with wolves in the church. People stirring up trouble among brothers. Arguing points of theology, but really just destroying people's faith in the process. Paul tells Titus, those are wolves. Warn them once, warn them twice, then have nothing to do with them. But you know what, guys? It happens today. It's no different in our homes. Let's say your child brings home a boyfriend or a girlfriend who's tearing down and belittling the values that you believe in. What if this person is making fun and making light of your principles and the spirituality that you have been instilling in your child since they were young? Let me tell you what, you're dealing with a wolf. Warn them once, warn them twice, and then you're going to have nothing to do with them. That's what the Bible says. So now, what to do if a pot stirrer enters our world? We know. Warn them once, warn them twice. But allow me to close tonight with this. We must remember that at any moment, you and I are capable of becoming pot stirrers, aren't we? We're more capable of fighting for a personal agenda than almost anything else. And we are very capable of speaking harm into people's lives. And none of us wants to go that route. So I want to leave you with this. Perhaps the best way to recognize if you're going in the wrong direction, if you're moving sides from a knee scraper into a pot stirrer, ask yourself a couple questions. Ask yourself this. Am I building somebody up or am I bringing them down? Am I bringing harmony to a situation or am I instigating discord? Am I dividing people or bringing them closer together? Because, gang, mature Christians desire to build people up. Now, wolves, on the other hand, desire to bring people down. Mature believers produce harmony. Wolves bring discord. Mature followers of Jesus Christ bring unity to the body. Bring in those. All-inclusive. Everybody's welcome. Now, wolves, they try to divide people from the flock. Hefty stuff that Solomon was leaving us tonight, but words that you and I can remember in that you and I are not to be pot stirrers. Let us not fall prey to them either. I'm going to ask the band to come back, and we're going to do one more song as we finish up and give you an opportunity to maybe close with maybe a time of speaking to God and asking Him to power you up. Maybe you've got to take care of some wolves in your life. Maybe, just maybe, you've been hitting towards that side yourself and you need to talk to God and say, I got to straighten out. There is hope. There are the warnings because they can turn. So, let's close out and sing together. Lord, I pray that you would take us into the weekdays through the power and strength of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we're all going to run into different kinds of people in our life, and I thank you for allowing us the honesty to say there are going to be some really tough ones out there. There are going to be people who are trying to hurt us. And Lord, thank you for showing us that you have a plan in place. And Lord, I do pray that warnings would have their effect, that we would see people make changes. But Lord, for those that just have their heart set on evil, I pray that you would show us how we can do the right thing by putting distance there. Help us always be slow, Lord, to ever put anybody on that side of the category, but let us also not be weak in being able to do and see and call a thing what it really is. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be people who please you with our lives. Even as we as knee scrapers, Lord, constantly fall down, need correction, let us be people who embrace the slap of a friend, knowing that they want to make us better. And Lord, help us to always be people who look to be more like you and never think that we've already gotten there. Lord, we leave ourselves in your hands. We thank you for this amazing time of year where we can give thanks for what you've done to us, what you've done for us on the cross. And Lord, I pray that you prepare us for what lies ahead and advance your kingdom through us in this church age. In Jesus' name, amen.